All right, so we're turning, we're making a turn. We've talked about some things that Christians disagree on, and that's okay. We're working through our positions on the millennium, things like that. But we're sort of turning now to things over which there is some disagreement, like timing of judgment and things like that when we get there. But things that are more considered gospel essentials, like the bodily return of Christ, resurrection, our resurrection and new body, things that we can look forward to. We know we can look forward to, if that's the right language to use, death, because it is appointed to man once to die, unless Jesus returns before we pass away, which there will be some people living on earth when he does return. We will go through that. So what should we expect? And this will give us some help and some hope, hopefully, as we work through that. But first, the return of Christ. If you've just one example, if you know anything about Jehovah's Witnesses, I think I'm getting my dates right, but they believe, and I think there's more than this, but that Jesus returned in 1914 or 1917 or especially in 25, but not a visible return. Others who think he's come in a non-visible way. Even some who believe we're in the new heavens and new earth now, and I don't even have time for that. But that's really bad news if we are. It's really, really bad news. But the first thing we wanted to look at this morning is that Jesus will return in a body. So after the resurrection, after his resurrection, after he was with his disciples teaching and training, he appeared to them in a body. I don't think I put that on here, but in John 20:19-20, Jesus appeared and it freaked them out, but he was there. In verse 19 of John chapter 20, it says, "On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you.' And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" And then you have the episode with Thomas where Jesus actually, there's no evidence that he carried this experiment out, but Jesus invites him to touch him and to put his hands in the wounds and to believe that he's risen from the dead. But Jesus was risen. He had a body like what we will have. He was in a body. And he ascended in a body. I think on your sheets, I put them on here to speed this up a little bit. Just some of the texts that we would look at. That from Acts 1:9-11. George, you want to read that for me?
"And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven.'"
Wow. Who are those two men?
Angels.
I'm tired too. Y'all speak up. Angels, yeah. How many doctrines do we have established from the lips of angels? Not many, right? Not many. But this one, how did the angels say Jesus would return?
As you saw him go up.
Okay, how did they see him go up? Gabble. Case closed, right? But look in Revelation 1:7. "Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him." And that doesn't mean it'll be on CNN, okay? "Even those who pierced him and all the tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen." He's coming. Every eye will see him. There are more scriptures we could look at, but we don't have time this morning. You know, he will come back exactly the way he ascended. He will come back bodily. Okay, so and when will that happen? Exactly. Exactly right. So when somebody works out a chronology and tells you exactly when Jesus is coming back, how should you respond to that?
How do you
I heard laughter, and that's probably exactly the day he's not coming back, okay? And I've told y'all some funny stories in my own past, how I've actually learned that by example. But we don't know the day and the hour, but we do know some specifics. And one of the specifics we know is that he's coming back bodily. We've already covered this. When he returns, what will happen to us? I'm seeing it. Yeah. We'll be changed. Right? And taken up to be with him. Now, at that point, do we immediately return to earth or heaven for seven? You know, those are all the discussions that we were going over before. But what I want us to really embrace, we can get so wrapped up when we study things like eschatology on figuring out all the positions and all of the data, grasping the data, that we miss the blessing. We miss the blessing. Why is it encouraging that Jesus was physically raised from the grave? Yeah, I was about to start over with who is God. Y'all just don't want to talk this morning. Say it again.
Because he's alive.
Okay, he's not dead, he's alive. So then, but that is prototypical for us. Christ, the first fruits, 1 Corinthians 15, then those in us, basically. How do we know that death has been defeated? Okay, what information then do we have from 1 Corinthians 15 and other places about what will happen to us? We're going to rise from the dead. We are going to rise from the dead. What if we die before Jesus comes back? What happens to us in that intermediate state? Are we sleeping? That's good. Look at what I put on your sheet. These are things, and if you'll sort of memorize these questions, man, do we need to know what to expect at death? Gosh, we're defeated if we don't, right? You know, because in Hebrews 2 it says that we're held in captivity, in bondage to slavery, as long as we fear death. But the gospel should set us free from fear of death. Because not only did Jesus die for us, go through the grave, He was raised from the grave. One of the benefits of that is we no longer fear death. So if we pass from this earth before Jesus returns, do we miss it? We don't miss it. If we pass from this earth, what happens to us? Look at this question, Westminster Shorter Catechism. What benefits do believers receive from Christ at death? See, we have gospel benefits at death. When we die, the gospel's in play right there. Look at this. The souls of believers are at their death made perfect in holiness and immediately pass into glory. And their bodies, being still united to Christ, rest in their graves until the resurrection. When your body stops living, what happens to you? To be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. So it's a form, it's not really, you know, it's not physical rapture, but it's a form of that, in that if we pass from this life before Jesus returns, our souls are set free. Who we really are is set free from sin and its misery, is perfected right then and immediately with the Lord. And so shall we ever be with Him. And then, you know, reunited with our bodies that rest in the grave. So it's not soul sleep, but body sleep, right? Still united to Christ. And when Christ returns, we have our new body raised from the grave. So it's not when He returns, the believers who died before have just been in this sort of dead soul sleep existence until He comes, and then they're raised and meet Him in the air. Reunited with our bodies, new body, raised from the grave. But what I want you to grasp is the moment you pass from this earth, you're transformed, set free immediately in the presence of Jesus. There is nothing to fear from death because Jesus overcame it for you. He took its teeth out. It's like a roaring lion that wants to scare you, but it has no more teeth. It has no fangs. It has no claws. Why? Because Jesus defanged it. Jesus declawed it. Jesus took all of the things to fear out of death. Why would we fear death? It's J word.
Judgment.
Because we don't know what to expect. We're afraid that we won't pass the judgment. We're afraid that we won't be accepted. That would be the only reason to fear death, other than fearing the physical process. Right? No, but I mean, I don't think any of us look forward to that. Don't know how it's going to happen. Yeah, that's beautiful, and listen to them sing, isn't it? I could just shut up and listen to that. When we've been there 10,000 years. Set free. See, what I want you to understand, what you can expect at death is a glorious shuttle ride into heaven. Now, whether the angels are going to come take you by the arm and all that, you know, all this fancy stuff we put on it. But Jesus took the fear out of it. So, if we're ready to die, man, we're ready to live. We don't have to fear whether or not ISIS is going to cut off our heads or whatever. Well, nobody looks forward to a process like that, but He'll be with us, right? I mean, read some of the testimonies of the saints who did go through persecution like that, like Polycarp and others. You know, why are we told about Daniel and his Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery with them? No harm. Set free. Only burn off their shackles, their ropes. Because Jesus has paid for our sin, because Jesus has taken every bit of our sin upon Himself and taken the judgment we deserve, because Jesus lived perfectly in thought, word, and deed and gives us His righteousness, and because we are children of God, beloved children of God, and babies are making y'all cry, aren't they? it is hard to overcome. But because of Christ, there's nothing to fear. So, because of Christ, there's a bold life for you. Believers at their death are made perfect in holiness, pass into glory with Christ forever, bodies in the grave, still united to Christ, rest and wait until the resurrection. So, no soul sleep. Body sleep. Looking at the body from outside, you see somebody, you've been to funerals, they look like they're asleep. Right? And the body is. It's no longer inhabited by the real person, not to mean, but the soul is incomplete without the body. But it is the clothes we wear. It is the tent we're in. Scripture uses that kind of language. But Jesus will return in a body. And if we're still here when He does, we will be transformed and made like Him. We don't know exactly what that'll look like. But we know that when He returns, we will be like Him. What is like Him? Big, victorious over death. No more death, no more sin, no more misery. Perfect and complete joy, satisfaction, fulfillment forever with Him. Any comments or questions before we move on? Y'all pray for those teachers. Amen. Teaching those kids. That's great. That's awesome. You have some great people teaching your children. It is amazing grace. All right. And then we've already talked about this a little bit, getting ahead of it. But when Jesus returns, we'll be raised in new bodies. And George has already mentioned this, but look on your sheet at... What's that?
Why would we say reunited with the body if you're actually being united into a new body?
Because it is our body renewed. It is who we are. It is our new bodies. This is the way Scripture speaks. You know, put off mortality, put on immortality. But if you would have seen Jesus, although he didn't look exactly like he did, evidently, he was recognizable. And so it's just the way. It's transformed. It's set free from decay and corruption. And it'll definitely be, what do you mean, reunited?
It's not going to be,
not reunited with our old body, if that's what you're saying.
A particular physical set of atoms is not going to be what actually I get united with post-death.
Say it again?
This particular set of atoms.
Right? Oh, absolutely.
This bone marrow.
Absolutely. Absolutely, no. Absolutely. I mean, if you were in the World Trade Center or in an airplane, if that's how you died and you're obliterated, you know, it's not just those leftover fallen pieces put back together in your that's pretty gross. Amber's like, shut up. but it is our body. It is who we are. So we will get new bodies. And therefore, we are our soul, spirit, person is reunited with a body.
Uncorruptible.
In other words, we will not dwell as floating spirits forever. We will dwell in bodies on earth, new heavens, new earth. So that's only language reunited. Yeah, not the same fallen group of tissue that you live in now. But look at this. Second, raised in new bodies, believers will be raised. 2 Corinthians 5:1-9. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, that tent language is the body that we have, and notice it does mention maybe it's destroyed or dies. We have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan. Anybody relate to that? The older you get, the more you relate to that. But the closer you get to Jesus, the more you relate to that too. Hunger and thirsting for righteousness. Looking to put on our heavenly dwelling. If indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal might be swallowed up by life, true life, immortality, eternal life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. See, we have a down payment. We have a guarantee. Remember the study in Ephesians. So, believing that, if we believe that, and the better we grasp that and believe that, so we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage. We would rather be away from the body, this body, fallen world, and at home with the Lord. But whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. We make it our aim to please Him because He's purchased for us this glorious redemption. We have His grace. We have what we don't deserve, which is His love. He loved us first, so we love Him. He's dealt with our sin, so we want to live for Him. We trust Him. We believe that He knows what He's talking about. But we're not going to live forever in a fallen world and in a fallen body, praise the Lord. We don't have to fear death when we pass from this fallen world and fallen body because of the victory that is ours in Christ. But we look forward to being reunited with our bodies or having a new body and living in the new heavens and the new earth forever. So the better we get the gospel, the less fear there is in death, even in the process, but especially in the what makes people afraid is what's going to happen. I'm afraid. I don't know what to expect. I don't. Right? So the better we get the gospel, the more we're delivered from that. Look at question 38 there. What benefits do believers receive from Christ at the resurrection? At the resurrection, we will immediately raise up. At the resurrection, Christ will immediately raise up in glory all believers. No class system there, no tier system there, no the best believers or whatever, but all believers. He will openly acknowledge and acquit them in the day of judgment, graciously rewarding them according to their works of faith, and they will enter into the full enjoyment of God for all eternity. What is eternal life? Is that they may know you, truly know you. And know there is more than just an intellectual knowledge. It's a relational, intimate relationship knowledge, being ultimately and fully fulfilled at the resurrection, new heavens and new earth, entering into full enjoyment of God for eternity. And it says they're graciously rewarding them according to their works. You know that none of our works, even the best believer, even the best Christian, how I don't even like to use that language, the most faithful Christian, not one of their works is rewardable in and of it, just viewed on its own. Because it shot through with imperfection and sin. Right? It's only rewardable in that God's grace cleanses away all the impure motives, all the selfish motives. We can do really good things for really bad reasons, can't we? We can donate a lot of money and build a children's hospital and go to hell. But do it for our own name and for our own... Start to, you know, if anybody will go to heaven, I will because I gave money and built. Nobody go to heaven like that. Jesus. Grace. Jesus took our judgment. Jesus is our righteousness. Jesus is our reward. He will reward what He has worked in us, cleansing away all of the sin. That's why we'll cast our crowns at His feet in acknowledgement that He did that. But we don't have to fear. And that's kind of the main message I want you to grasp this morning, is that we don't have to fear death. We shouldn't fear death. We're delivered from death in Jesus so that we don't have to fear it. We'll just get closer to God, death. Now, we should want to, or at least be willing to remain here and grow in grace and be beneficial to others. That was Paul's attitude in Philippians. I'd much rather be with Christ, but for your joy and growth in the faith, I'm willing to be here and be used by God until the day He takes me home. But man, this talking about this kind of stuff should make us, at least in our hearts, be raising our arms. Come, Lord Jesus. Come. Because when I die or when you come, I'm set free. I'm set free. No more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain. And this is what we want our children to grasp. This is your main mission as parents, is to your children grasp the gospel. And we want them to behave and be good and all that. We don't want to make little Pharisees, though. We want them to know Jesus. We want to raise Christians who strive to be good in His strength because they love Him. Not to make us look good or avoid punishment primarily. I mean, those are good secondary motivations. But we can look forward to being raised, delivered, new bodies. Jesus is coming bodily. We will be with Him forever. We will be raised from the dead. And that resurrection language is talking about the body being raised, new, immortal, eternal. Full enjoyment of God forever. We don't even know exactly what that's going to look like. I mean, John is real about that. You'll see the verse on your sheet there. 1 John 3:1-3. See, reveling in God's love. See what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God. The longer you live, the more you know the greatness and glory of God, the more you know the depths of your sin, the more you be amazed that you are a child of God, and it's because of Jesus. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are now God's children, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know, notice the confidence, we know that when He appears, we'll be like Him. We will be like Him. Not God. We're not being transformed into God. Free from death. Free from corruption. New bodies. Full enjoyment of God. We will be like Him because we will see Him as He is. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. I'm going to stop. Any comments or questions? We're not usually afraid of death when we're not facing it, are we? We try not to think about it. I'm saying think about it. It's not morbid. It's reality. Think about it. What will happen to you when you die?
No more pain, no more suffering, no more heartbreaks, no more loss.
You believe that?
I believe
that. Okay. And why will that be true?
Because I will be with Him.
Why will you be with Him?
Because I believe in Him and He has extended that grace and glory.
How do you know you're elect? How do you know you're elect, chosen? Because you believe in Him, right? There's no hidden ease or anything you look for behind the ear. Evidence of you being part of the covenant of grace is faith. What God requires is faith, is exactly what He works in us, Ephesians 2:8 to 10. But listen to me. Don't brush this off. This is the most important thing you can ever think about. You know you're going to die. Apart from Jesus returning before that happens, you know you're going to die. It's pointing to man, woman, boy, and girl once to face death. What will happen to you at that point?
Enter into glory.
If you're in Christ, you will enter into glory. If you're not in Christ, you cannot pass the judgment. You will never be good enough. How do I know that? The Bible says, none good but God. Jesus didn't need to come and live and die if we can save ourselves. But the Old Testament makes it worse than that. All of our righteousnesses, or all of our attempts at righteousness on our own, are filthy rags because they're shot through with sin. Nobody can withstand the judgment. Nobody will be saved because they're good enough. There is no scale on which things will be weighed out and you'll just kind of barely make it. It's either righteous or unrighteous. And if you're outside of Jesus, you are unrighteous. But if you're in Jesus, you're righteous. No fear of death. Think about that. Enter into that. Embrace that before the knife is at your throat. Then they say, deny Jesus or die. I don't know if that's going to happen. I hope it doesn't. I hope we have a great revival in America. But it might. Our brothers and sisters all over the world are facing that. More Christians are martyred now than ever before. And the most important thing is not that you live. You believe me when I say that? Because no matter how long you live, you're not going to be able to keep that up. Right? And some of us die very young. But we don't have to fear it if we're in Jesus.
As believers, because it's the truth. It empowers us, and I don't know if anybody here has pulled a plug on someone or sat with a non-believer at their deathbed. This is our ultimate testimony of Christ to walk them to death's door. Romans 8:38, everybody misses that. If you have ever known me, the thief on the cross was walked into glory with Christ that moment. I can't think of a more important way to be able to walk in with somebody who's in the hospital or at death's door and bring them to the point, bring them the good news of Christ as that one last hope.
Mm.
And if they accept, my stepdad walked away from God for 58 years and on his deathbed asked, forgiveness.
Wow.
I can't.
We
as believers have got to walk into that with whoever is around us.
Yeah. The fullness and the freeness of the gospel. My brother, 2 weeks before he had a stroke and then he ended up passing away, was so afraid of death, for the first time he was willing to hear the gospel. And on his own, I didn't lead him through anything, cried out to God for mercy and trusted in Jesus. that it took that far to, for God to humble him. At the resurrection, believer's soul will be reunited with his body, or united with his new body, if you prefer that language, which will be fitted to be with God in the new heavens and the new earth where righteousness has its home. 2 Peter 3:13. And that is all because of grace. Think about this. If you could see from the vantage point of heaven the darkness and depravity of this earth and know that that is a free gift to you because Jesus came into this darkness, defeated our sin, lived for our righteousness, rose from the grave, reigning for us. He's coming again just simply to finish the work, right? To give us new heavens, new earth, reconciliation, life, hope, victory over death as a free gift. You can't be good enough to be saved. You can't stay good enough to stay saved. Your hope is all in Jesus. And if your hope is in Jesus, it doesn't have to be a perfect hope because you know what? Jesus died for imperfect faith and for unbelief. But if the final verdict is I'm trusting in Jesus, that's eternal life. And it begins now. And it's victory over death. And when you die, you just pass immediately into His presence. And if you're here when He returns, you're changed and immediately into His presence. Don't have to clean it up first because He's cleaned it up. If He's at work in you, fruit of faith, repentance is a fruit of faith, and He's changing you as you walk on this earth, growing you more like Jesus through heartache and trouble and a lot of things. But your confidence is not in anything in you. It's in Jesus. And if you're trusting in Jesus, death is a defeated foe. That's no fear in death. We sing that sometimes. We don't always live there, do we? Come on, you can be real. We don't always live there. We have low ebbs in our faith walk. Let's be real with one another. So let's don't all walk around smiling like we have perfect faith and the person who is honest with themselves are walking around. I'm not like that. You know what? I'm not like that either.
Forget death. We fear things on the earth.
Yeah, we do. Absolutely. Fear men. It's a snare. If we fear God, we don't have to fear anything else. And fearing God means delighting in Him, reverencing Him, loving Him, wanting to live for Him. Psalm 119, go read the psalmist's attitude. There is a holy trembling before a holy God. There's some real fear mixed into that. But Jesus has reconciled us to God. Jesus has done that. And it's a free gift. Let's end with Hebrews 2. If you have any closing comments, you can make them. But I just wanted to remind you of what we sang this morning. No fear in death, all because of Jesus. But look at Hebrews 2. Look at the love of your Savior. Hebrews 2:14. Sings over you, calls you as brothers above this, lived and suffered and died and raised. He made perfect through suffering. He came to save us. And then in verse 14 of Hebrews 2, since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, He Himself likewise partook of the same things. Why? That through death He might destroy the one who has the power of death. That is the devil. And deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that He helps, but He helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore He had to be made like His brethren, or brothers and sisters all, in every respect, so that He might become for us a merciful and faithful High Priest in service to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Let me pause a minute. What does it mean that He made propitiation for your sins? I couldn't hear you for the kids. That's Exactly right. He diverted the wrath away from us onto Himself. And drank that cup dry. So He made propitiation for our sins so that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest. And because He has suffered, look at this, because He has suffered when tempted, He's able to help those who are being tempted. He understands the struggles of this life. He understands your weakness, and He is your high priest. What did the high priest do? Represented God to the people, and the people to God, made sacrifice for the people. Day of Atonement, entered into the Holy of Holies to deal with sin. Jesus is the one who has made sacrifice for us and covered our sins. Jesus is the one who has lived for us to give us His righteousness. He's the one who is now a merciful and faithful high priest. All of the wrath went on Him, so no fear. The devil will lie to you. Your flesh, your heart will lie to you. You won't always believe the gospel. That's why we need to be reminded of it every day. Since it's close to, we just passed Reformation Day, I'll tell you what Martin Luther says. He said, I preach justification by faith alone every week because my people forget it every week. You'll forget the gospel every day. Start your day with it. Very simply. And you can do it in a lot of different ways. Sometimes even as simply as John 3:16. For God so loved the world, or this is how God loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Rest in Jesus. Be delivered from fear of death. Know that He's coming back bodily. When He does, you'll either come with Him and receive your new body or be changed. But you're reconciled. You are reconciled now if you're trusting in Jesus. Death is now a servant to lead us into His presence in victory. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for Your grace, mercy, kindness, peace, patience. Oh, thank You that You are patient with us. Thank You that justification and sanctification and glorification, all of our salvation, is a work of Your grace. It is what You have achieved for us and You are applying to us, and that when Jesus returns, we will be like Him. Fully delivered in spirit, soul, and body from not just the penalty of sin, but from its practice, from its presence. Set free to full enjoyment of God forever. We are Your children because of Your Son. Help us to keep that straight. May all of our hope be in Your grace. May we be thinking rightly, knowing that we're beloved children, and from that basis, striving in Your strength to be more and more and more at rest, and more and more and more like Jesus, and more on mission for You. Lord, bless our children. That song, just hearing them sing is so touching. Bless them, save them, sanctify them, grow them in grace. Bless us, and just help us as a church even now tune our hearts to worship You, to glorify You, to enjoy glorifying You. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.